This is KGNU Media Gardens, Nuestras Ondas, La Encrucijada. Where Boulder County youth tell their stories, give their perspectives, and become a seed to amplify youth voices from our community. Today's segment is brought to you in partnership with the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission.
As you know, young people played an integral role in the civil rights movement. From college students who participated in freedom rides through the South in 1961 to thousands of K-12 students who led the Children's Crusade in Birmingham in 1963. Young people recognize their role in creating change. They recognize that change would not occur without their participation. The same is true today, and particularly in Lafayette, which has historically provided a platform for youth voice and youth participation. In fact, the City of Lafayette's annual Martin Luther King Jr. March for Peace and Celebration was conceived by youth more than 17 years ago and sustained by the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission. The objective of the event has remained the same, to foster peace in our community by celebrating Dr. King's contributions, acknowledging his sacrifices, and identifying ways to maintain his legacy. Following is a recording of this year's annual event, which was held in Lafayette on January 17, 2022.
Good afternoon, my name is Andrea Montiel Astiri, and I am a junior here at Centaurus High School and a co-chair of the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission. With me serving as MCs are fellow co-chairs Josie Briggs and Amy Resende Salazar.
Today marks Lafayette's 17th annual Martin Luther King Jr. event. We are intentionally using the word event rather than celebration, as we, alongside the King family, recognize that we cannot celebrate until Dr. King's vision has been actualized. Let today be a call to action, a dire call to collectively advance Dr. King's legacy. After all, in his words, it is not possible to be in favor of justice for some people and not be in favor of justice for all people. A pastor, father, husband, son, Nobel Peace Prize winner, accomplished scholar, community organizer, and civil rights advocate, Martin Luther King Jr.'s contributions far exceeded the 39 years he lived until his assassination in April 1968. As the co-pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church, president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, which ultimately coordinated the successful Montgomery bus boycott, and founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Dr. King effectively generated support from individuals of all backgrounds and ages. And in direct response to his efforts and the persistence of countless others, Dr. King lived to see the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. But the fight did not stop there. In 1971, young people won the vote when the voting age was lowered from 21 to 18. In 1975, the Voting Rights Act expanded to include ballot translations, creating a system inclusive of non-English-speaking Americans. And in 1982, people with disabilities were finally provided the necessary accommodations to make voting truly accessible for all. Yet, despite these advancements, the clock has turned back, and at a rapid pace. In 2013, the Supreme Court ruled that states were no longer required to submit changes in their election laws to the U.S. State Department of Justice for preclearance. Also in 2013, student IDs were no longer considered a valid form of identification when voting. 5 years later, thousands of polling places were shut down, disproportionately affecting communities of color. In Atlanta, for example, hours of voting polls were significantly cut, limiting access for the Black community, who make up 54% of the city's population. And in the wake of the 2020 election, an unprecedented wave of restrictive voting laws and other attacks on democracy that primarily target communities of color came crashing in. In fact, according to reports, 19 states passed laws making it more difficult to vote last year alone. Yet, there is hope, if Congress acts. Together with the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, which would restore and update the full protections of the landmark Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Freedom to Vote Act would be the most comprehensive democracy reform law enacted in decades. But again, Congress must act, and so must we. We have a renewed opportunity to create Dr. King's beloved community. As individuals committed to equality and acceptance, we have a critical and urgent responsibility to maintain Dr. King's legacy, to advance human progress, and to do what is right, and not just when convenient, but always. If those who are elected to govern us are unwilling to speak truth to power, we need to. If those who are elected to serve us are unable to exercise moral courage, we need to. If we don't come together as sisters and brothers, we will in fact perish as fools. The time to come together is now, and the call could not be more urgent. Here to formally welcome you from the city of Lafayette is an individual who has answered the call. Former member of ELIAC and current member of the Lafayette City Council, our friend and Lafayette's mayor, J.D. Monget.
I want to start by saying thank you to you all for joining us this afternoon, and I want to give a special thank you to the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission for hosting this event each and every year. Some of you join us for this event each and every year, but what you might not know about this event is that each year there is a particular theme associated with the march. This year's theme is voting rights. And so what I want to do with my time today is to share with you a story about the darkness of the history of voting rights in this country. Listen closely, feel free to close your eyes if you'd like, but what I want to do is I want to hop in the time machine and take you to the state of Mississippi in the summer of 1964, otherwise known as the Freedom Summer. Now, the Freedom Summer was organized by the Congress of Racial Equality, or CORE, to register the black community's vote in the South. At this time in the United States, there was about less than 7% of the black community registered to vote. Now, this was for a variety of reasons, whether that was the fear of losing your job or the fear of losing your home or the preventative literacy test that they forced individuals to pass before they could vote. And in addition to all that, what they would do in Mississippi at the time is they would publish your name in the newspaper publicly. And this registration list quickly became a hit list for organizations like the Ku Klux Klan. And so young activists from around the country gathered together in Mississippi to help combat this. There were young activists, two in particular I want to mention, by the names of Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner, who traveled from the state of New York down to Mississippi. When they arrived, they partnered with a local CORE activist by the name of James Cheney, who was born black in Mississippi. They went down to a nearby church and they tried to open up a voter registration site. They were doing good for the community. The next morning, they showed up to work at the local church and it was gone. It was burned to the ground by an act of arson from the Ku Klux Klan. They began to investigate for themselves as to what happened. And they are immediately jailed and arrested by the local deputy sheriff by the name of Cecil Price. And little did they know that Deputy Sheriff Price was a member of the KKK himself. After several hours, he made his own phone call, as Deputy Sheriff Price did, and then he released them. He released them from jail. He escorted them out of town. He pointed in one direction. He said, go that way. And so as they began to drive off, they were quickly caught up to by several members of the KKK, who forced the three young men out of their vehicle, took them to a nearby field, and one by one executed Andrew Goodman, Michael Schwerner, and James Cheney for simply trying to get folks registered to vote. It took 6 weeks for their bodies to be found. And when they were, some people thought it wasn't much of a big deal or a surprise that this happened. And so I bring this story to you today because I want you all to question why. Why did these hate groups fight so hard to prevent people of color from voting in their South? What was it? What were they so afraid of? And then take a look at what's happening today in the year 2022. Take a look at the South and some of the preventative voting legislation that's been passed. Ask yourself the same question, why? Why are these preventative measures being passed? What are these groups that are passing them so afraid of? And as you have that discussion, think about the Freedom Summer in 1964. Think about your answers from today in 2022 and try to see if you can spot a difference, because I think it'll be really hard. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you all for rallying in support, and please, please, please use your right to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, JD. We are so grateful for your leadership, advocacy, and support. Here to say a few words on behalf of Senator Huckus Lewis is our friend Karen Rayforth, and with her, Representative Tracy Burnett.
It's so great to see all of our communities here today. And I'm sorry, Senator Huckus Lewis could not be here today. She's actually meeting with some of her constituents who lost their homes in unincorporated Boulder County at an event that's happening at exactly the same time. But she wanted to offer her love and support to all of you. She also wanted to remind you that our communities are guardians of our democracy. Dr. King and many others worked so hard and sacrificed so much to attain and secure voting rights, just like our Mayor Manga just talked about. That is only one story of the many, many thousands of stories across this country of people denied the right to vote and losing their lives over it. Access to voting is under attack all across this country, and we have to be vigilant. We're fortunate in Colorado that we're a model for many, many states of what voting rights access should look like. But that could always go away. We have to remember it's a law that could be changed. We can lose it. We don't have it at the federal level. I don't know if we're going to get it. So there's a good chance that if we don't hang on to it in Colorado by keeping vigilant here, we won't have access to the vote. And we could be right back into the 60s all over again, fighting the same fights. Each election leads to an opportunity to expand or decrease our rights. So we must always be vigilant, and we must always be active allies to other people that maybe don't have the right to vote or don't have a place at the table. Senator Huckus Lewis has a lot of favorite quotes from Dr. King. I want to share one. Make a career of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a better person of yourself and a greater nation of your country and a finer world to live in. Great love to you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out here. I'm State Representative Tracy Burnett. This is my district. You know, today we honor and remember the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, a man who gave his life in the pursuit of justice and equality. His words often remind me that the struggle for a more equitable society is not a memory of the past, but a constant fight, which requires vigilance and dedication. Even now, as we work to remove systemic barriers to equality, generations of inequities still divide us. When servicemen came home from World War II, the GI Bills, educational and housing opportunities lifted up an entire generation into the middle class. But almost all black servicemen were left out of the GI Bill. That caused inequities that have persisted for generations. So how do we address these inequities? It's by addressing those root causes: access to good schools, affordable housing, and health care, among others. And yes, voting rights. Calling on Congress to pass comprehensive voting rights. In our pursuit of a more perfect union, we must always strive not only to lift these barriers, but also empower those who have for so long have been oppressed and provide opportunities for progress that rights the wrongs of the past. May Dr. King rest in peace, and his legacy forever remind us, as leaders and citizens of this democracy, of our duty to each other and to a more just and equitable future. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for not only joining us here today, but also ensuring Lafayette is well represented in our state. Representing us along with the rest of the 2nd Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives, Congressman Joe Neguse is also with us here today. The first African American member of Congress in Colorado history.
This celebration in particular happens to be my favorite, and not just because my wife and I are proud residents of Lafayette and our daughter, and we love this community and are so blessed to be able to call it home, but also because of all of the MLK parades and celebrations in Colorado, and there are many, many of which I've gone to today. This one focuses the most on our young people. You hear from the high schoolers here at Suntorus and folks at Angevine, the young people who are so engaged and so committed to honoring Dr. King's legacy. So let's give it up for them, as much horns as we can, for the young people for organizing today's wonderful event. There are so many quotes of Dr. King's, but there are two in particular that I thought I would share because I think that they're both relevant and timely. The first is, you know, Dr. King, as we know, often talked about the fierce urgency of now. And he was quoted as saying, at the height of the civil rights movement, that the time is always right to do what is right. And boy, could that not be truer than today, as the eyes of the world, the eyes of the country, certainly the eyes of our state and the eyes of Lafayette are on the United States Senate, as we await to see whether or not they will do the right thing and honor Dr. King's legacy, not by celebrating it, not by remembering it, not by reflecting on it, by acting on it and ultimately safeguarding voting rights at a time where the stakes simply couldn't be higher. In the last 365 days, 400 pieces of legislation have been introduced to restrict the right to vote in Iowa, in Georgia, in Florida, in Texas. Coast to coast efforts that have metastasized in an effort to curtail the ability of American citizens to cast their vote, to exercise their franchise, to ultimately ensure that that fundamental right, the right to vote, a right that is sacrosanct under our Constitution, is no longer secure. So the Senate has a big decision to make. Me and my colleagues in the Congressional Black Caucus, we have been working hard to implore them to do the right thing, to remember Dr. King's admonition that the time is always right to do what is right. The second quote that I'll leave you with is something he was attributed to saying, again, at the height of the civil rights movement. Many of you know Dr. King's life was very much in jeopardy throughout pretty much his entire adult life. And notwithstanding all of the vitriol and the hate that was directed his way, the violence that he and his fellow citizens fell victim to, he was quoted as saying that I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. I think we forget that fundamentally Dr. King's message was one of love. It was a message rooted in trying to find the common humanity in all of us. And I must tell you, not a day goes by that I'm not thankful to be a resident of a community that has also chosen to stick with love. And I was reminded of that today, as Tracy Burnett, your state representative, mentioned. We kicked off this morning at Avista Hospital, and they were regaling me with the stories of the nurses and the staff who were evacuating the residents out of that facility not that far from here, a hospital that we all know too well, but the hospital my daughter, Natalie, was born at. I was visiting with your mayor just a moment ago, and he was bragging to me about the various ways in which this community, Lafayette, stepped up for our neighbors in Louisville and in Superior and the 1,000 people who lost their homes. Fundamentally, that, to me, is reflective of the love that this community has for this county, for this state, for our neighbors, for our fellow citizens, and all people who are lucky enough to call this wonderful community home. So as we leave today, let's remember Dr. King's message, rooted in love. Let's find ways to talk to each other, even those we might disagree with. Because together, doing that, I believe we will save our republic and certainly leave a brighter future for our children and our children's children. So thank you all so much for coming today. Happy MLK Day.
A big thank you to Congressman Neguse. You really are a role model for so many of us.
Here representing the Leadership Studies Minor in Multicultural Scholars Program, which are one of CU Engage programs in CU Boulder, Senior Joanna Mendy.
Hi, y'all. How are you doing today? I'm really grateful to be here with all of you and to share in this moment together. I've written a piece today called A Book Called Equal, and I hope you enjoy. On August 28, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and facing a sea of people brimming with the prospect of hope, His voice like thunder, he utters words that would soon become his legacy. A litany of dreams that he prescribes for our fragile American project. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Equal, the word in its five letters, is a history book telling the stories of people who wish to no longer remain unheard. In this book of equal, we are still drafting volume one, our work not yet done, our songs not yet sung. Dr. King may have been to the mountaintop, but we still have hills to climb. The book of equals tells a tale of folks on the front lines. Its pages design and define what equal could truly be. Its authors, everyday people, you and me. The sentences we've penned call for an end of police brutality, prejudice, discrimination, calls for a nation that treats each citizen with dignity. A country where race is not only seen, but respected, where humanity of all is loved and protected. Our first draft of equality is not easily proposed. Insurrections and violence have followed, and in those moments, equality feels like a far and distant dream. The plot of our opus may have many winding roads, our path not straightforward and clear, but here, in this moment, we are working towards something that is much bigger than ourselves. Almost 60 years since Dr. King dared to dream, and we have yet to draft a sequel named Equity, Diversity, Inclusion. We must not remain under the illusion that because the seats are filled and the glass ceilings are being shattered, that we have reached the conclusion of our ever-changing democracy. Our voting rights are still hanging in the balance. And if we fail to pass, we'll beg to ask the question, will our equality story remain a fable that never makes it to the printing press? We must not acquiesce, we must apply pressure. Because without this legislation, we will be complacent in the censure of millions of Americans who desperately want and deserve to have their voices heard. This is not a day off, but a day on. We are on the dawn, the precipice of a new day in America, so we must keep fighting. Continue to swim upstream. We must will ourselves to keep dreaming. Not only to honor Dr. King's legacy, not only for ourselves, but so we can place our book of equal on the shelf. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Equal. Thank you.
I'd like to take a minute to acknowledge the City of Lafayette and Centaurus High School for sponsoring this event. Special thanks to Principal Dan Ryan for opening his school to us for his second year. We'd also like to thank CU Engage, our awesome friends at the Lafayette Public Library, the Recreation Center, and of course, the Lafayette Police Department for their incredible and invaluable support. While we formally commemorate Dr. King's life and legacy one day each year, we ask that you advance his dream through service, compassion, kindness, and love every day. If we learn to live together as brothers and sisters, we will in no doubt advance Dr. King's vision and co-create this world as it should be.
This program was previously recorded during the City of Lafayette's annual Martin Luther King Jr. event, which was held on January 17, 2022. The event was planned by the Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission in partnership with Centaurus High School and with support from the City of Lafayette and CU Engage at the University of Colorado Boulder. The Lafayette Youth Advisory Commission will host the city's 18th annual Martin Luther King Jr. event on Monday, January 16th, 2023.
A A diversity of youth voices and perspectives is crucial for a rich, informative, and creative media landscape that enables the growth of civic participation and community strengthening. The KGNU Media Gardens Youth Initiative will continue to amplify more young voices and perspectives through these airwaves.